Good morning, North Woolwich Methodist Church. Well, here we are with a little bit of an experiment. Good morning. Obviously, I can't quite be with you yet, but I should be with you again very shortly. I'm feeling fine. PPR decided way back at the beginning of COVID that if a Sunday popped up that I wasn't going to be able to join you, that we would give this a try. So afterwards, please feel free to let me or anyone on PPR know if this was a good thing, if this worked well, or if this was not a great idea, and if we should stick to live stand-ins. So in any case, it's Advent, and we're just going to start a series here, and we're going to start this morning with some verses from Deuteronomy. Let's see if I can get back to the slides there. Yeah, okay. So this is from Deuteronomy 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die." The Lord said to me, "What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account." And then in the Gospel of John, we're told, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." The word of God for the people of God. So this morning, I'm going to start by I'd like to tell you about Bob. Bob didn't know much. Don't get me wrong. Bob was perfectly bright and well-educated in his particular field, but that left so much out there in the world that he knew nothing about. But the one thing that Bob really did know was how to get help. Bob was an expert in consulting the experts. He had learned the hard way that when he made decisions just based on what he thought or even just what he felt, it always turned out that he should have known more. So, when Bob's wife didn't like the look of a mole on his back, he didn't play it tough or cool. He went straight to the doctor and asked. When his business needed something, he didn't try to do it on his own. He was quick to get on the phone and call and consult with a lawyer or a banker or an accountant. At home, he was a bit of a do-it-yourselfer, but he would always talk with a friend who worked in the trades first. Heck, he wouldn't even buy a $20 toaster without reading at least 10 reviews first. And yes, every time he looks at that toaster, he smiles with satisfaction because he knows that he got the best toaster out there. But sometimes Bob would wonder why. Sometimes it struck him that all the running around and getting things done really was just a giant hamster wheel. He had a bigger home and a nicer car than he used to. But was he any happier? His clients were pleased with his work, but was anyone actually better off for what he did? Was he better off for what he did? Would he get to the end of life and, like so many, have to think, "I wish I had done things differently"? What is life for, anyway? And for Bob, the worst part of these questions was that he knew there was no expert to ask. Any other question, he knew where to get the information he needed, but with the most important things of all, no one out there knew any more than he did. As we make our way through life, all of us need a lot of advice. Life is complicated, and there is so much that we just don't know. We don't have enough information. We don't always know what to do with the information we do have. And yet, we still have to make a decision and live with the results. And so all of us rely on all sorts of experts, people who have the information we need or can make sense of the things that we can't make sense of. Doctors, lawyers, tradesmen, these are just kind of the obvious examples. But think of all the ways in which you rely on others to give you good information as you make the decisions you need to make. We need access to people who know what we don't know. And the same is true for the most important questions of life. What makes life good? What does success, real success, look like? What will bring me genuine peace? In whatever difficult situation you find yourself in, what is the right thing to do to really actually move forward instead of just somehow making things worse? But where is the expert on that kind of stuff? You may find people with more experience, which is good, but who has gotten to the end of it all and been able to say, there, that's how it's supposed to be done? What we need is someone who actually knows all that stuff that we don't know. We need someone who knows, not just thinks or have some opinions, right? But somebody who knows what makes life good, what makes life meaningful, how to live life so that we come to the end of it with that same smile of satisfaction that Bob has when he looks at his toaster, right? We need someone who knows exactly what we will face and just what we need to do about it. We need a prophet. Now, in common thought, prophecy means prediction, and a prophet is someone who predicts the future. But in reality, that common understanding of what the word means is not really what the word actually means in the Bible. In the Bible, in reality, the role of a prophet isn't to predict the future, although they sometimes do that. The role of a prophet is to speak for God, which sometimes involves revealing what will happen in the future, but it is always about what we need to do or know now. God wants us to understand what life is about. God wants us to know what is good and right. God wants us to live lives that are successful, fruitful, and satisfying. And so God has given us a prophet who has seen what we have not seen and can tell us what we do not know. As human beings, we have many needs, right? And as Christians, we believe that Jesus is God's answer to our needs. We humans need someone who sees what we do not see and knows what we do not know. And so God has given us Jesus to be our prophet. It seems that everyone in the world thinks that they know what God is like. Even those people who don't even believe that he's really there somehow think that they know what he's like. And yet, the reality is, how does anybody know? No one has seen God. No one is really operating on anything other than just what they've heard from somewhere else or what they maybe wish were true about God. And so, Jesus, our prophet, who has seen what we have not seen, tells us what God is actually like. In Luke 10, he says, "No one knows who the Father is, except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." in John 8. Though you do not know him, I know him. Jesus speaking about the Father. And then in chapter 14 of John, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Again, the idea that Jesus, as the one that knows the Father the way that we don't, and so he can reveal the Father to us, that Jesus as a prophet can tell us what it is that we otherwise would not be able to know about God. And then in Jesus's prayer, just before his arrest, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. Right? Everyone has an idea of what God is like or what he should be like. But what is it based on? Nothing, right? Luckily, God wants us to know what he is like, that he is all-powerful and all-loving, that he is just and merciful, that he is compassionate and holy. So, wanting us to know what he is like, he has given us Jesus, our prophet, an expert who can tell us what we would otherwise not be able to know. Now, you would think that if there's one thing we should know well, it's ourselves. And yet, we spend a lifetime trying to understand our own hearts. We are all constantly in the process of learning about ourselves, but who can claim to have actually come to real self-knowledge, right? The human heart is deceitful and deceives itself first, producing an alienation from our authentic selves. Instead of paying attention to ourselves and learning, we attempt to actively shape ourselves, curating an image and then trying to live up to it. But that's not what God wants. He wants us to know who we are. He wants us to know who we were created to be. He wants us to know who we've made ourselves to be, and then he wants us to know what he can still do with us by means of redemption. God wants us to know what we do not know about ourselves, and so gives us Jesus as our prophet. Talking with a woman in Samaria, Jesus said, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet." In another place it says, "But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man," right? When someone stood before Jesus, he saw them thoroughly and completely, understood what was in their heart, understood them the way that they did not understand themselves. And speaking with some of the Pharisees, he says, "But I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts." Jesus also shows us what God thinks of this life and how it should be lived. He says, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul?" And then a bit later, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." And then another well-known life advice, he says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Okay, so these famous sayings, right, just kind of about life and all the rest of Jesus's teaching, this is just a little example, these things are not just the insightful reflections of a wise, wise man, right? Sayings like these about life and how to do life, they are God, the true expert on life, telling us through his prophet what he thinks about life and how it should be lived, so that we would be equipped with what we do not see, that we would be equipped with what we do not know in order to go and do life well. And this is God giving us what it is that we need through Jesus, our prophet. And of course, Jesus also tells us about the place that none of us have ever been, the very presence of God or heaven. In John 8, that we already pulled a verse out of, it says, "I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence." Jesus standing on earth refers to an earlier time in which he stood in the presence of God in heaven and relates to people on earth what it is like in heaven. With Nicodemus back in chapter 3 of John, he says, "I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Again, another one of the several places where Jesus claims before he was on earth to have been in the presence of God in heaven, so that he has authority to speak to us of what heaven is actually like. We believe that Jesus is our prophet, priest, and king, our Savior and our God. But what do we mean when we celebrate his arrival as our prophet? We might first think of verses where he predicts things like Peter's denial, his own crucifixion, or the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Romans. But none of that is what we need. What we need is someone who can tell us what we ourselves could not figure out. Who is God? He is our loving Creator and Father, who desires nothing except our highest good, who sees our self-inflicted misery, and setting aside our offenses, takes our rescue upon himself. This is not a picture of a God that we have created. This is what God has revealed through his prophet. Who are we? Oops, I lost the slide there. I'm going to try and pull it back up. Oops. Well, that didn't work. So anyways, but just continuing this idea of, right? So who are we? We're created by God to reveal his glory by filling the world with his image. But we've chosen to bear our own image by attempting independence from him, bringing shame, guilt, and suffering on ourselves and on the world around us. Yet, because of God's faithfulness to his own intentions, right, we remain the objects of his grace, mercy, and redemption. Now, that's not a story cleverly designed by the church in order to control people, right? That's a story that God has revealed to us through his prophet. What is life? It's a precious gift to be received from God and then used in the pursuit of his will, trusting him, honoring him, glorifying him, relying on him, thanking him. Life is a canvas on which to paint his love for us by our love for others. God wants us to understand that. God wants us to live life understanding what it's for, and so he has given us his prophet. And then what? Well, then there will come a day when God will bring an end to all injustice by judging those who persist in it. He will bring about the world he has always wanted, and he will share it with all those who are willing to share it, all those who have been brought through that judgment by his mercy. And then the world delivered from all unrighteousness, that world will be enjoyed by God and his people forever. This is not a myth. This is not a fable. This is not a story that kind of encapsulates human hope or anything. This is not anything that anyone could have figured out, right? That story of where the world is going doesn't make sense if you just look out on the world around you. But this is what God wants us to know, for which he sent Jesus, our prophet. Amen.